Blog Talk Radio.
This is our weekly Global Product Management Talk on Twitter. Pleased to welcome my co-host, Adrian Tan from Australia. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, Cindy. Hi, Saeed.
And hi, how are you?
Our speaker today is Saeed Khan from Toronto.
That's right.
Excellent. Saeed Khan is an experienced high technology product manager and marketer with deep experience in enterprise and data center software. Saeed is a career product manager with over 14 years experience in startups and public companies in both Toronto and Silicon Valley, in roles ranging from individual contributor to vice president of product management. His writings can be found in his blog on productmanagement.com as well as on the Pragmatic Marketing website. And he has also been a contributor to the book Software Product Management Issues and Perspectives. I have the ISBN number. So he speaks widely on the topic of product management as keynote speakers at various software marketing conferences and product camps, and he is the coordinator of the Product Camp Toronto. Thank you for joining us, Saeed.
Hi, thanks, Cindy. So just one comment, and so thank you for the introduction. The domain is onproductmanagement.net. That's okay. Some other domain squatter got the .com, so.
Okay, and I see that Tim Johnson is joining us. Veronica is joining us from Caracas, Venezuela. Tim Johnson is here in Silicon Valley. Today we're discussing education of technology product managers. There are few, if any, formal education programs for technology product management. There are some university courses and well-known short training classes that give an introduction to the topic. But given the breadth of skills, business, technical, organizational skills needed by technology product managers, as well as the lamented skills, what is really needed to fill the gap? What are the essential skills, knowledge, tools, and experience that can help someone be successful? I see some new people joining in. Carly McAllis, welcome, from Sydney, Australia.
Excellent. That's fantastic. Yay.
Do you know Carly?
I think I do. I think I've met her at one of our talks before. Oh, she works for a company called Foxtel.
Is there anything else you'd like to say, Saeed, by way of introduction?
No, I think that was what I'd really like to do is hear from people about when we get into the questions, their experience, and what they see as the need for education in product management.
Excellent. Our first question has to do with business skills. What are the business skills or knowledge needed to enter the product management field? Hi, Carly. She's a product manager from Foxtel, and the first time she's been able to join the talk live.
Excited you could join, Carly.
So Larry says, it's always good to start with
cost of goods, return on investment,
and some rudimentary financial terms.
Yep.
So he says, we want to have a lively discussion on what is needed. Adrian said, business skills, knowing your way around a profit and loss statement is important. You're suggesting that basic business skills to running a business, managing a product. Tim Johnson says, in addition to profit and loss, knowing how the sale process works, how customers view value. And Saeed responded to Larry, where do people who don't have those basic business skills go to get them? How customers view value would be a more advanced skill, very useful, in Larry's opinion. And where do product management newbies go to learn that? Where do people who don't have those basic business skills go to get them? I learned them through trial and error, or failing as an entrepreneur on several occasions. Product managers can learn from those within the business first.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of knowledge and skills within every business that product managers can, you know, especially if they're newbies, can learn from. I like Larry's answer.
He said he got his through a business law class in high school and being cognizant in life, right?
Basically on the fly is what he answers.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what Tim means about carry a bag.
Took a community college accounting course, start with accounting principles, and carry a bag. So he's a great teacher. Is that you listening, Larry? Future program. Don't leave it all at any one point, but like many things, and iterate.
If you don't know basic business skills, you shouldn't be a product manager. Gosh, that's controversial. Now, I know lots of product managers that don't have basic business skills.
Yeah, the question was, when you get into product, what are the basic business skills you need to get into product management? So it's kind of catch-22, right? Like, you have to get them, but if you don't have them, you need to learn them when you become one or something like that. I think that's really the issue, right? So because everyone says, well, I happened to take a course, or I learned it on the job, or a failure is a great teacher. Well, so this is the whole problem, which is there isn't a formal way to learn this stuff, and this is just question one.
So Tim told me in the side chat here that what he meant by a bag is having a quota to get a gig in sales for a while. And that's a great way. Those, depending on the product, they're easier entry into the business. You're on the line for having your quota. So that certainly is incentive to learn about business.
Okay.
So Veronica's saying, so teams right now, it's all ad hoc learning. So true, referring to the product manager's handbook, which is a 700-plus page book on everything product management.
Yeah.
Teams just came out with a new book. Business learning is available in school.
Let's go to question two, because I think we're kind of done the business one.
Yeah, and welcome to Q2 is what technical skills or knowledge are needed to enter the field. Get a mentor.
And I have a mentor whom I love and adore. He is someone who's been a consultant as well as heads of marketing and product for many, many years. And, you know, she's like a book. I just need to prod her. She tells me stuff. Jose's on the line. What are the technical skills or knowledge needed to enter the field?
So the technical skills, I say, would be specific to the industry and to the product that you're responsible for.
That depends on yes and no. So some people will say that you need general technical knowledge and understanding, and you don't need specific, and then others will say you need specific. And I think it really depends on your role and your industry. Because in some industries, if they're more mature, technical knowledge isn't as critical. If it's very, very new, like virtualization or something, the cloud or whatever, you know, whatever is the big hot new topic, then you probably need more technical skills. Or at least you need more technical skills in product management overall. You don't need them in every individual.
Sorry, say to product management, because launching wrong products to market means a lot of resources are wasted. Right. Kim says, don't have to be a programmer, but must have appreciation for the coding process.
Yeah.
QA, right. Quality assurance is a good teacher. So is in customer support. Goal-oriented, have focus, be tech-savvy, and active listener, to name a few. General technical skills. Yeah. I would also agree with Kim, depending on who you're interfacing with, you really need to appreciate the skills that they know.
Yes, absolutely.
So Carly has interesting answer on analytics.
Because I couldn't live without analytics for my web products and some basic HTML cascading cell sheet understanding. I agree. I assume dealing with web services, websites. And Veronica said, sorry, I was talking about general business skills before. Be goal-oriented, have focus, be tech-savvy, be an active listener. Yes, I think those are relevant for across the board. So Said is asking Carly, what analytic knowledge do you need specifically? Ananesim, welcome PM Dude, you made it! So PM Dude says, it helps to be completely immersed in the technology or attuned to the technology. Much of mindset as a skill. Very cool. Nathan Anna Perioco from London. Wow. Welcome. Isn't product planning the key technical functional skill of a product manager?
Agree. I like that answer.
Okay, so we're saying a lot of general things. So I would say also what PM Dude is saying, it helps to be completely immersed in the technology or attuned, and I would agree when it comes to any product that you're responsible for, to be immersed in it. Things like understanding software development process, technology space you're in, stuff like that at a minimum. Welcome, Joshua. Rather than ad hoc, get a mentor. Yes, it seems right now it's all ad hoc learning.
We're too nice this morning or this evening, wherever you are. I think we need to stir it up. What controversial question can we ask? So we all disagree. It's been a lively debate.
Question three, the hard skills and knowledge. What other hard skills and knowledge you needed to enter the field?
Tanya, I want to see, because we're kind of, I had a bunch of questions. I'm not sure if we'll get through all of them. So
Q4 are the soft skills and knowledge. What soft skills are needed?
Okay.
Q5 is in retrospect. What skills do you have today that you wish you had when you first started?
Okay.
Q6 is experience. How where did you learn those skills?
Okay.
Q7, transition as you move from individual contributor to manager. What new knowledge is needed? And Q8, managing. What abilities and knowledge do product management executives need as compared to those who report to them? What element of confrontation do you want to add in here, Adrian?
No, I just wanted us to find a point to debate.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let me ask this. Maybe what we can do is combine question three and question four.
Sure.
Because hard and soft, what other hard and soft skills, you know, are required? And I think question five kind of has been discussed, but maybe just put it out again. I'm not sure about question five, though. Because what I wanted to get to, essentially, is kind of ask these questions, right? So I thought, you know, there'd be kind of a spread of answers. And then say, okay, what's the most important and why? And then that would be kind of where you could have a debate. But I don't think we're going to get to that.
Yeah, well, I think we should maybe jump into the debate.
Okay. So there was one, I think there was one which is the biggest gap or something like that. I don't have the questions in front of me. I should probably look them up.
Give you the link where they are. What other hard and soft skills and knowledge are needed?
I love Roger. The number one telling great product management professionals to share is learning, both acquisitive and emergent. His answer to all your questions.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I'm going to bait Roger in a second.
Yes, go ahead.
I apologize if this derails the talk, but I just want to see how you're going.
No, go ahead. I think we're all in agreement. This Joshua agrees with him. Acquisition is active, self-motivated. I really think domain knowledge is very important. Now we're talking. That stirs things up.
Welcome.
Hillary. I think she's from Sydney too.
Awesome.
Yeah, I like that response, Aid. Isn't learning important in most professional jobs?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, the domain knowledge one, I've had a lot of interchange with Roger on that, and I know exactly where he stands, but I just want to see if he responds, and then I'll just say, just kidding, Roger.
Well, I might just throw my opinion in, and then you can tell me whether you agree or disagree.
Okay.
You know, functional skills get you a long way. Emergence of synthesis of existing knowledge and creation of new knowledge, right?
See Steve Jobs, i.e. the need to drive to go with vision and enthusiasm. Yeah. Roger, you're not taking the bait.
Maybe Roger's listening and he heard me, so that's okay.
Too. Yes! All the more.
Skills, ability to conduct customer research, to write personas, to do user testing.
If you don't mind, I'm going to ask a question.
Go ahead.
Sure.
Without listening, other forms of learning suffice for many other professions.
Okay, well, we'll debate that later.
Being able to transfer ideas, solutions from one domain to another accelerates progress across domains, yes?
And Carly says, our products wouldn't be what they are today without UX. And all product managers should be all over it without user experience. There we go. That is why I prefer intellectual curiosity. It's less about learning and more about seeding your brain. Oh, welcome, Stephanie. Being able to transfer ideas and solutions from one domain to another accelerates progress across domains.
Yeah, actually, I totally agree with Stephanie.
Yep.
That's where domain knowledge actually does come in.
You need some sort of domain knowledge, but you don't need to. I mean, if you're working, I work across industries where I have absolutely no knowledge, but my functional skills is what people are after. But I still have domain knowledge in products that I grew up with, I guess, and I take that learning from one domain to the next.
Yeah.
But I don't need to know about finance specifically when I'm helping a financial customer.
Yeah, so I agree. You don't have to be like the domain expert, but what I found is that getting into a new space and being able to understand the dynamics of that space, you have to have an understanding of that domain. I mean, I've worked in a bunch of technology spaces even, and you go from one to the next, and there's a ramp-up time. And I've found myself, I'm not effective for, I don't know, like some period of time. It's not a couple of weeks even. Like, you can start making progress in a couple of weeks, but to be really, really effective, you need to be able to connect dots. And you can't do that without a real understanding of what's happening, why, you know, who the players are, what the issues are, etc. I found that to be a pattern, at least in myself. And I've seen other people who come from one space, come into another space, have the assumptions of the old space, and then they're not seeing the obvious because their frame of reference is wrong.
Right. I guess I have I haven't worked in a sort of full-time job for close to 8 years.
Yeah.
So I trade off the fact that I'm good at what I do in terms of trying to elicit information from the subject matter experts themselves.
Yes.
And bringing it all to that under some sort of product management framework. So it's interesting. I mean, I don't know, if I had a full-time job, yeah, I'll pick up the domain knowledge quickly and start to make a difference, hopefully. But I think that functional knowledge sometimes is a little bit, I don't know, discounted to some extent.
Yeah, so no, you need both, and I think that, so I've done some consulting as well, and I think that when you're consulting, people pull you in for, I mean, it's somewhat self-selective in the sense that they need if they want a domain expert,
that's
they'll get a domain expert.
Yes,
but if they want a consultant to help them sort out some strategy, they'll do that.
Yeah.
But when you go into a company as an employee, you need to have that domain knowledge. Like I could not walk into, let's say, a
bank.
Yeah, if I was going to be a product manager in a finance you know, in a financial firm. Like, yeah, I understand banking because I use a bank machine, but I'm not a financial guy. And so I would expect that it would take me time to understand, you know, there's regulatory information, there's, you know, just the way the world works in the finance system. There's a lot of stuff that you kind of have to understand. And then you say, oh, okay, now, once I know that, I can build out what I need to build or do what I need to do. So that's, I always find that. And I've seen hideous examples of lack of domain knowledge completely destroying product, like just hideous examples.
Yeah, and Roger must be listening to our conversation. He says, ah, yes, the ramp-up time argument applies well to conventional learners.
So Roger was on the call. Hey, Roger, how are you doing?
Hi, Roger.
Why didn't you say hello, Roger?
I hear someone new, Derek Cooper.
Did anyone answer the gap?
I think Veronica has. Biggest gap, customer focus. That's why so many fail. And
That's not really a skill, though. That's just a systemic problem, I would say.
Yeah.
So you were telling Carly...
Because says, I'd rather have a good product manager than a product expert.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree. You need both. And if you need a product manager, you need a product manager. But a product manager without context is not a great candidate.
Roger says it's four different types of learning. Accretion, transmission, acquisition, emergence. And you must understand the differences. All right, Roger, please tell us. And Tim says, agreed, without customer focus, why bother? He's answering question five, the biggest gap is customer focus. That's why so many fail. So Joshua Tan is in Melbourne, Australia.
My goodness. Thank you, Australia, for joining.
And this was Liz Rice. I wonder if she called in. She's in Palo Alto.
It must be my constant nagging. Stop, join, learn. It's fun.
Okay, so Roger is saying that accretion, transmission are conventional learning. Acquisition and emergence are exceptional.
Oh. Yeah, I would need to see definitions of those just to understand what he's talking about.
He can point us to a URL. And Stephanie says the problem often is that what customers think they need is not really the solution. Product managers need to realize that. Welcome, Melanie Holloway from Baltimore, Maryland.
Yes, okay, that makes more sense, Saeed.
So,
yeah, sorry.
So
yeah,
what should have
typo.
Been question five? Customer focus is a systematic problem.
Yeah.
Melanie is joining. So Saeed is asking, beyond customer market focus, what other major gaps in skills and knowledge are you seeing?
No, I want agreement.
No!
Last thing I want to see is diverse opinions here.
So Roger is saying accretion is learning through experience. Transmission is being taught. Okay, so hands-on immersion. And Ms. Rice is the vice president at ThruTube. So I asked Roger about accretion, hands-on immersion. Roger gave us a URL, which is a graph of learning theories and learning domains.
Oh, nice.
Which I will add to our page of resources.
The product management framework. There's that word.
I know. Sorry, I like to throw things in there. Can't you people get upset?
Okay.
Thinking, chatting, agitating.
Stephanie said, I'd add a sense of direction, a clear roadmap for the gap. Veronica says, I see that product managers don't have a good product management framework. Yeah. There are too many frameworks. All kind of look similar.
Sense of direction and a clear roadmap. I like that one from Stephanie. Now, Cindy, do MBAs or engineers make better product managers? Ooh, that's a good one. I like that question.
Because that's who they think they should be hiring.
Yeah.
So Roger says, no, accretion is sitting around absorbing information. It's not what distinguishes great product management. Thank you.
I'm trying to answer your question. Do MBAs or engineers make better product managers?
So that's a question that I had. Should there be a degree? And would it be an undergraduate focus or a graduate two-year program? Melanie says, I see engineers with great communication skills, depending on the product, technology product. Veronica is saying, but aren't there basic variables to help decide the cross-mini framework? And Roger is saying, acquisition is proactive, resourceful, and self-motivated immersion. So I guess that's my favorite, is acquisition. And see, you're seeing patterns and connecting the dots and then evangelizing that is most important. Adrian said that depends on the person and desire to know and satisfy the customer, whether an MBA or an engineer would make a better product manager.
I've seen both. Our consultants have MBAs. They're great product managers.
So
mind you, they also have engineering degrees. I have to say our team is split. We have a bunch of engineers and we have a bunch of MBAs.
Yeah, I don't think it matters. I mean, education is a factor in general, but it's I wouldn't generalize one or the other, because I think you can end up with certain types of people in both groups who would be good and certain types who would be bad, and it doesn't matter which degree they have. Kind of thinking, okay, given where we are, let's ask people, like, because it's now we're kind of, I don't know, somewhat meandering, but what if you could design your ideal course, what would it look like?
Okay.
So, ooh, I like that.
Or I mean, we can add this later, but or should just be skills as you need them, so sort of more, quote, agile or ad hoc or whatever. You know?
Let's throw in another one of Roger's favorite topics.
Oh, welcome. So Joshua from Melbourne is listening in. That's great. Hi, Joshua. And
hello,
he says,
Joshua.
Definitely agree domain knowledge is essential.
All right. Another vote for domain knowledge.
So the question I posted was, what would your ideal product management course of study include if you were the teacher?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's I like how you phrase that.
Kim Johnson said, new question, building a business case, aspects of effective frameworks and listening techniques. This is what Tim would teach in his class. So Roger said, connecting the dots, creating new knowledge from the connections is immersive learning. He says he's in violent agreement with Roger.
Product management course would probably teach how to be a therapist.
Yeah, well,
Roger.
No, it's true, actually. You know what? I've been in that situation many times where you go talk to someone and somehow, like, since you're not trying to sell them anything, they unload. It can be interesting sometimes. Sometimes you just don't want to hear it, but sometimes it can be very interesting.
Tim Johnson says, answering the new question, separating fly specs from black pepper, getting to what is important in all situations. Because so you would ask him, can you explain what aspects of effective framework? And
yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't see that. Separating, no, he added one more. Separating fly specs from black pepper, getting to what is more. Okay, yes. So that's sort of his fourth thing. And then, which bits work, which are optional, which bits don't work. So let me just reply to him again.
It says, I would teach about what are we accountable for, tools to select ideas, to calculate the size of the opportunity, talking about specific analytical skills. Tim is saying, which bits work, which are optional, which bits don't work. Veronica says, learning how to use buyer and user personas, about segmenting your market, about the interpersonal skills needed. Adrian said, innovation principles and techniques, clue hunting, how to find out what customers want, and getting insights from financials. So do you think all of this could be covered in 2 years?
3 days sometimes.
Yeah, but they don't go deep. In 3 days, they give the overview. They give the jargon.
Yeah.
The terminology.
Yeah, and that's the problem, right? Is that you take a class or whatever, even if it's 5 days, it doesn't matter. The day after you take the class and you go back to work, it's like, okay, now what?
Exactly. Right. What do I do with all this stuff? And a lot of people we find, who we train, don't know how to apply. They understand the concepts, but they can't apply it to what they're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Getting theory.
Well, and that's why. And there's like, so I asked a question about leadership, and I didn't see a response on that. But I mean, you can learn whatever you learn in a class. You go back. Now you've got to actually change process or change culture or do something in your company, and that's the biggest roadblock. It's not that let's now create a requirements process. It's overcoming all the people who are like, well, we've got other things we're going to do. Like, I'm glad you took your course.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with Carly saying the five whys to help product managers get to the bottom of what customers really want. So five whys.
Okay. What are the five whys?
Yeah, I'm going to ask her. I think she meant who, what, where, when, and why.
Yeah, I know. That's like, is it five whys or five, W5? There should be a show here in Canada, an investigative news show called W5. Such a really good show.
Nasty.
We have a great course here. Everybody's got some great ideas.
And Melanie Holloway is also adding some human factors knowledge, understanding how users are interacting with the product. Indeed. So I had uncovered classes at the university level.
There is also one, I'm not quite sure whether it's a degree or a diploma, but it's offered at a university in Ireland. Diploma of Product Management or Bachelor, it must be a diploma because it's only 1 year of study. Find out, we found it the other night, thinking I could go to Ireland to do this. That would be awesome.
After they learn therapy techniques and apply them, then what? Then they heal the product.
And we have the immutable laws of marketing. Okay.
Five things that I can count that describe Roger, and definitely recent trout describes Roger.
Yes.
Welcome, Anton Chavikin from San Jose.
Yes.
The ideal product management course probably would teach how to be a therapist. Yeah. Well, gee, so maybe I should start a training on how to be a therapist. What abilities and knowledge do product manager and executives need as compared to those who report to them? Do you want me to post that?
One more, I think, or no?
That was eight in the transition as one moves from individual contributor to
manager.
What new knowledge is needed?
So actually, maybe I'll post a question.
Start with why you want this and why, again, repeat five times. Often what they think they want isn't true. This is Carly talking about literally the five whys. I call that probing.
Start with why you want this, then why again, repeat five times. Often what they think, oh, okay. So why, okay. My wife hates that. My kids do it to us all the time. And it's like, can you do this? Why? Eventually it's like, okay, we'll do it ourselves.
An inquisitive, emergent learner applying therapy will result in an onslaught of market insights. Oh, Roger.
Okay, and then what?
Then apply the principles of marketing by Reese and Trout.
Okay. Teach the most, the importance of the P in marketing mix, or the P's, I guess you mean. Police, detectives, and lawyers use this method. Probing, okay.
So why? Why?
So do we need, like, good product manager, bad product manager? When we go visit a customer?
Actually, that's great.
How much would you charge for that course, guys? Yeah, I think this is good. I mean, I'll stay on for a little bit, but...
I think people are still around.
Yeah.
Going to the heart of Roger Colvin, Rouse and Trout don't help.
Where did they say? No, but it's true. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there, but there's a lot of stuff. It's like economies change, technology change. I mean, you know, your market could suddenly get commoditized and you've got to do something with your product. And, it's not just like Rule 7 or something, you know?
Yeah, no one mentioned leadership. Good point. Sorry, Saeed.
No, I agree. I mean, I mentioned earlier and no one said it and I just thought I'd raise again.
Are you kidding? Recent Trout's marketing warfare is all about changing markets, technologies, and economies.
Yeah. Okay. And so is Sun Tzu, but.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I mean, there's a lot of stuff like managing up, you know, managing down, organizational behavior. There's a whole bunch of things that just are beyond the product and marketing communication things. So anyway, that's an area that people just don't really talk about much. They don't really think about it in that way. Like, you know, you want to manage across an organization and you want to manage, you know, across departments to make sure that whatever is happening is what you need to happen. And that's just, like, people don't think about that. They're really more focused on the product part of it.
Do you think there's any other role in the organization that is as complex as a product manager's role? Given that we have to be leaders, technologists, user experience designers, business people.
I think there's nothing that's as cross-functional because you are going across different departments, whether it's finance, sales support, engineering, marketing, whatever. I don't think there's anything that's more cross-functional. And I think that's the challenge. I think companies don't actually understand how to structure staff and operate that in an effective way because in the end, everyone becomes silo-focused. And unfortunately, product management becomes silo-focused. They'll say, they become very marketing-focused or very engineering-focused. And I think that's why you see a lot of problems in companies because they don't, like, if you become silo-focused, you actually don't see the impact across the company or you don't manage the impact across the company. So then what? Right, because you've got the product manager who's spread too thin and then probably focusing on the engineering or probably focusing on something else, and you know you can't actually work effectively. I think those are the real issues, and so why in education it's skill sets matter, domain knowledge matters, scale matters, right? How do you scale? Like, people don't scale. I don't scale. I can do what I can do, but an organization can scale. Mm-hmm. But that organization needs certain skills and certain abilities staffed properly.
Yeah, food for thought, lots of it. We do it every day.
Yeah, and people don't see that outside. I mean, unless they really care, people outside the organization, the product management organization, don't see that because they only interact with you from their perspective. So, you know, engineering only interacts with you from how they need, and they might understand, yeah, you're talking to other people, but they don't see how much you do on that other side.
Yeah.
So it's really a problem. And if your management doesn't see it or understand it, then you're in real trouble.
Yeah, agree. That's why it's important for product managers to get out there and tell people what they do.
Yeah. All right. So I think,
thank you very much.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thanks again for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you. This was great. Transcript of the tweets are immediately available, but I will edit them down into a recap to go with the audio.
Okay.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, you guys have a really good week.
Yeah, you too.
And I'll see you guys online next week.
Oh, great. Coming up next week, we're talking about project management versus product management.
Ah, I love that topic. That gets people going all the time.
Project management versus product management versus some other PM. I don't know what other PM thing, and just make it really confusing.
Yeah.
Program management. There it is.
There you go.
All right. Sign off. Thanks.
Great. So, thanks, Saeed.
All right.
Hi.
Bye-bye.
Hi. Who's speaking next week, Cindy?
It's Robert Kelly, who runs a project management...
Ah, yes, I'm online. Yes, that should be fun. Oh, look at all these lovely universities I can go to learn more about product management. But I love to go to the Kellogg School of Management or...
Oh, yes, I'd love to go to the Berkeley Haas one. So the Berkeley Haas, it's 1 week for $6,000.
Yeah. And what about the Kellogg School of Management?
I'm not sure if that's also an executive intensive.
Right.
There's only one or two that actually provide a degree.
Right. Still, these are really good schools.
Yes. And they obviously see a need.
Yeah, I like it. Well, that was a great talk.
Yes.
I really enjoyed that. And Saeed's just the loveliest person.
He is. Great.
Okay, I'll speak to you next week.
Okay, thank you.
See you. Bye, Cindy.
Bye.